But I like to just hook up where I stopped last time. We're still talking on the subject of confession. This title of this message is going to be The Need for Light. We're looking at this from a natural perspective. When you look at somebody who's sowing seed in a garden, you have ground, you have seed, you need water, and you need light for a harvest. As we've been teaching here, we talked about the heart of man. We talked about the incorruptible seed of God's word. We talked about the water of the word. Those three elements alone will not produce a harvest. You need light. And it's interesting how God has ordained things. When you look at the natural, the spiritual is no different. So in this lesson here, we're going to center in on a light, since we've covered the other ones, knowing that your heart has been designed of God to produce what's sown in it. The incorruptible seed of God will produce itself without any help from you when it's watered and when the light of God's word is shown upon it. So this part here is the light, the need for light. I'd like you to go to Proverbs 20:27, and this is in the Amplified. And it's interesting what the Word of God says. It talks about the spirit of man is the lamp. And I'm going to set a little foundation here before we get into the light being associated with confession. You cannot assume as a teacher that people have the understanding of the things that you want to progressively teach on. Sometimes you got to lay a little foundation to bring them up to snuff because you don't know where people are spiritually in their walk. So I don't assume that. So I take time to lay a little foundation, then we'll get into the heart of the message here or the teaching. Proverbs 20:27 says this: the spirit of man, that factor in human personality which proceeds immediately from God, is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts. It's interesting what Solomon is saying here about the spirit of man. He gives you a picture. God speaks in pictures. The picture here now is the spirit of man is the lamp. So when you think about a lamp is designed to produce light. So he's talking about a certain picture. Now, when you talk about the inward man, you can look at the inward man from all different angles from the Word of God. But from this angle here, it's depicted as a lamp. So within you, you have to realize that God sees you as a lamp. And it is the lamp of God. And in this Amplified says here, it's the human personality of a person. So it's talking about the inward man. It's what gives you your personality. But it's the picture of a lamp. Now, Psalms 27:1 says this: the Lord is my light. 27:1 says this: the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear or dread? The Lord is the refuge and stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now, it's interesting that the Lord says here, the Lord is my light and salvation. It's interesting that he ties the word salvation with light. When he's making this statement, he's talking about the born-again experience. Jesus in John's gospel says, marvel not that I say unto you that you have to be born again. But you can look at the born again experience like I just was saying before from many different angles. The apostle Paul talked about if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You can look at the new birth from the new creation standpoint. You can look at from it from the standpoint of Jesus when he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, how can a man enter a second time into his mother's womb? You can go from that angle or perspective. But the perspective we're taking it from is the Lord is your light. We're centering into the light. We find out that the spirit of man is the lamp. And it's interesting that light is associated with He is my salvation. So the picture here that the psalmist is saying is God is your salvation, but it's pictured in light. Now remember, the title of this message is The Need for Light. So as we go to Psalm 18:28, I'm still laying a foundation here. 18:28 Amplified says this, "For you cause my lamp to be lighted and to shine. The Lord my God illumines my darkness." I'm going to make this statement now, but I don't want to get ahead of myself. You are a being of light, whether you realize it or not. If you are born again in the realm of the Spirit, you shine. You are a light. To get you going down a certain way of thinking here. Because some of these things I'm going to say, if you don't have this foundation, you probably won't believe it. But once you have this foundation, as we progress, you'll see the truths that are being unfolded from the Word of God. And actually what begins to happen is revelation is being unlocked. So Psalms 18:28 is saying here, "You cause my lamp to be lighted." Now that's an interesting statement. If you look at a lamp naturally, it can either be lit or out. It's either producing light or it's dark. It has no purpose if it's not lit. It's not benefiting anybody. Now in Romans, I don't have this on there, Kelly, but chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, I want to read this and expound upon what the psalmist is saying here and also what Solomon is saying here. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Rome. He says this, "I was alive," this is verse 9, Romans 7, verse 9 through 11, "for I was alive without the law once." That's interesting. "But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me." The Apostle Paul here is talking about the inward man. He wrote this epistle to the church at Rome. Now he's making a statement, "I was once alive." And he talks about, "then I was dead." Now if he was dead, he was not able to write this epistle. But what he's writing about is the inward man. Once he was alive unto God, but once sin was revived, he died. Now, you can look at the new birth from the aspect of life and death within the spirit of man. Now, we could read that verse like this because we're talking about the light. "For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died." In other words, my lamp was put out. Follow what I'm saying? "And the commandment which was ordained to life," or to give me life, "I found to be unto death." In other words, when a child is conceived in his mother's womb, there is light that is imparted from the Father. And we'll find in the next verse in James that he's called the Father of lights. In him there's no veritableness, no shadow of turning. He's always constantly the same. He is bright, brilliant light. John declares that there is no darkness whatsoever in him. When a woman conceives a child, the moment that conception takes place, God releases light. That is the spirit man. And in Scripture, it's called light. And it's coming from the Father of lights. And that's what that Scripture's making reference to. And when you're born again, we'll find this out, that God lights your lamp. And what has taken place, like Paul says here, because the commandment came, sin revived, I died. Or say it this way, my lamp was extinguished, blowed out. Therefore, darkness was reigning within the heart of an individual. Now, that's why you must be born again. And at the moment that sin revives, you're taken captive into the kingdom of darkness, whether you realize it or not. You're a child of the devil, the scripture says. You're in the world without hope and without God. And like I said previously, you have to lay these foundational things because people, a lot of people don't really have an understanding of the new birth or what God actually did for mankind through his son. I've had people say to me, why didn't God, if he's so merciful, why didn't he just forgive Adam and go on? It wasn't that easy because Adam had authority and turned it over to Satan. And when he did, he actually crowned Satan to be his Lord. And the scriptures declared he was held in the kingdom of darkness. His inward man was extinguished. There was no light. He was light, and after sin, he was darkness within his heart. So his lamp was blowed out, and he wasn't shining. Now James says this in James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now watch this. Of his own will begat he us. Now I can read it this way. That's old King James. Of his own will gave birth to us. But notice that the giving of birth is associated with the statement that he's the Father of lights. Just like I was sharing with what the psalmist said about he, my lamp, Psalms 18:28 says, Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Light is tied with salvation. So the picture here is the new birth, being born again. So what he's saying here is James is making the same declaration: of his own will begat he us. We are born of the Father with the word of truth. Now the word of truth is the incorruptible seed of God. Now Peter made the statement being born again of incorruptible seed, not corruptible, but incorruptible by the word of God. James is saying the same thing, but he's using the word truth. Now the word truth can be interchanged with the word. You're born of the word. And guess who the word is? The light. Okay? Now I'm still setting a foundation here. So James just says we're begotten or born of God by the word of truth. We can say it this way, by the word of God. How is light manifested within your heart? By the word of God. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now, James is talking about what Paul talked. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. James says a creature. You are a being that never existed before. Like I says, if God would remove the veil of the natural and allow you to see your inward man as a born-again believer, you would be brilliant light. And that's why he tells you to sustain from sin, because sin begins to dim the light and actually can come to the point extinguishing the light. Because we're stewards over our salvation, whether you realize it or not. So James is talking here that the word of truth is how we were born of God. Now, it's interesting that John the Baptist testified of the light. And he makes this statement in John's gospel, first chapter, verse 9. This is the Amplified. And this is what John records. There it was, the true light, was then coming into the world, the genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illumines every person. Now, I'm going to make this statement. It illumines every person that receives Him. When you receive Him, He illumines or lights your lamp. And it's interesting, John had the revelation of it. When you begin at seeing how the scriptures just weave themselves and intertwine themselves, it's amazing. The book is absolutely amazing. You just begin to see the manifold wisdom of God being unfolded. And this is just in the new birth. And it's just a picture of, like I said, you can look at it a lot of different ways. You know, God speaks in pictures. And we're speaking now in the picture of seeing us as beings of light. Now, go to Ephesians 5:8. Ephesians 5:8, this is Paul again. Paul says this, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Walk as children of light. We were sometimes darkness, now we are light. Are you seeing the picture here? It's like Paul says, I was alive once, but when sin, when the commandment came, sin was revived and I died. My light went out. My light went out. Now I'm in darkness. And this is what Paul was talking about in Ephesians. For ye were sometimes darkness. He's talking to the church, or he's not talking to the world. The world is in the kingdom of darkness. The world's lamps are out. There is no light in them until they receive Jesus Christ. But now, that's present tense, are ye light? How? In the Lord. Then the commandment is said, walk as children of light. Now, I took the time to lay this foundation because what I'm about to say, you probably wouldn't receive it. But now, having this understanding that you are a being of light and you were once darkness and now you are light, and as a child of God, you are to walk as a child of light. No darkness in you. Now, this portion of this message is going to be called the release of light by confession. And we'll go to Proverbs 6:23 there. And I make this statement here that we're going to begin to establish certain things. And this one statement I'm going to say right now is a key. The Word of God is light. Now remember, we're talking about confession, and the natural example I'm using is a farmer having ground, having seed, having water, but without light, you're still not going to have any harvest. So we're centering on the light part because we've talked about the other three. Now Proverbs 6:23 says this, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. And reproofs and instructions are the way of life." Now let's break this down because there's much revelation in this one little verse. For the commandment is a lamp. Well, we can read it this way. For the word of God is a lamp. Now who is the word of God? Jesus. He is the light. He is the one true light that John testified. Perfect. He's the one that illuminates everybody's heart that receives him. So we see what the psalmist is saying, or Solomon is saying here, it is the commandment or the word of God is a lamp itself. In other words, Jesus himself is a lamp. As a human being, he was a lamp. And he takes his lamp and lights yours. It's what the scripture says here. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Well, we'll read it this way. The commandment is a lamp, and the word is light. So we can establish that God's word is light. Now, what we need to produce from our heart, like I said, is the incorruptible seeds of God's word, the water of the word, and you have to have light. Now, this will give you a little insight of what, why Paul talked about we having the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. I had an individual, and actually he was a Rhema grad, and we were discussing these things, and he made this statement, you only have to say something one time. And I said to him, well, if that's the case, why are we commanded to hold fast to the confession of our faith? Well, that sort of like threw him back. And I said, the scripture also says it's with the increase of a man's lips shall he be filled. Increase means the saying. Well, if you get a hold of this, saying, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus is sowing the incorruptible seed of God's word in your heart. And continually saying it begins to water the incorruptible seed of God that's in your heart. And as you continue to say, like Paul says, I believed and therefore I have spoken, past tense, I believe and therefore speak, present tense, you got this dynamo going. Now you understand how this dynamo works when you understand this example. When you're saying by his stripes I'm healed and you're quoting the scripture, you're planting the incorruptible seed, you're watering the incorruptible seed, and you're shining light upon the incorruptible seed. When you quit confessing and saying, you shut the switch of faith off, you shut the dynamo down. You follow what I'm saying here? I don't want to lose nobody. This is what produces within your heart. That's why we're taking the time to look at each one of these things outlined in the Word of God. Now, if I would have said that without establishing that you're a being of light and your candle's lit, now you have the ability to shine and release light. Now, we'll go to Psalms 91:11. Now, the key statement here, light is sown, which is interesting. Psalms 91:11 says, light is sown for the righteous. Now, let me say something. You are righteous. So it's talking about you. You're born again. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. Righteousness is a free gift. You received it at the new birth when he lit your lamp. Okay? You shine before God. Did you know that light only has fellowship with light? Light has no fellowship with darkness. Light dispels darkness. I mean, if we were in this room, this dark, if we shut all the lights off and it was dark in here, all I had to do would flick the switch. The question you knew, where in the world did the darkness go? It was expelled. That's what happened in your inward man. The darkness that was in you was expelled. Just like the light was extinguished. It was blowed out. Now what's taking place in the heart of man, darkness is blowed out. Jesus just blowed it right out of you. So he's talking about the psalmist saying here that light is sown. So it gives us an indication there's a process to it. How in the world can you sow light? You can't even see it. I mean, you see the results of it. But when you understand that the Word of God is light, see, the Word of God interprets the Word of God. So you can see that this statement here is making reference to the Word. You could read it this way. The Word is sown for the righteous. Well, who sows it? Either somebody else sows it in your heart, like Paul and Silas when they were ministering, or what Paul records in 1 Corinthians, you know, with Peter, I planted and Cephas watered, and God gave the increase. They were sowing light into those individuals' hearts. They were being illuminated. Remember, Jesus illuminates your heart. He does it by the word. So we can read it. The word is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. And gladness for the upright in heart. It's interesting that gladness is tied in with light. I don't know if you know, but you've all probably experienced this, that when, like a day like today, you go outside, it's so gloomy. You're like, But you go out on a nice sunny blue bird sky day, the sun's bright, you have glory to God. This is a beautiful day. Why? Because of the light. Light gladdens the heart. The promise of God will gladden your heart when you know His by His stripes you're healed. It'll gladden your heart when you know that my God supplies my every need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So light is sown for the righteous. I'll read it again this way. The word is sown for the righteous because the light is the word. Now, go to Ecclesiastes. This just gets better. Ecclesiastes 11:7. I'm going to make this statement. The light is sweet, and we taste with the mouth. Now remember that statement. Ecclesiastes 11:7. Truly, the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. That's S-U-N. Now remember, the sun, S-U-N in Scripture, is talking about the planet, sun, that rises in the east, sets in the west. It is a planet that's set that everything revolves around it. It's a type of Christ. Our whole life is to revolve around Him, the sun. Now he says that light is sweet. Let me ask you something. Have you ever tasted light? Scripture says it's sweet. Naturally speaking, nobody's tasted light. Now, the psalmist also says this, taste and see that the Lord is good. Well, how do you taste and see that the Lord is good? Through His word. Here's a question. It's not a quick trick question, and I'll answer it because people get all... What part of your body do you taste with? Your mouth. What are we talking about? Confession. You see, are things being unlocked? Are you seeing these things? What he's saying here? Truly the light is sweet. The word of God is sweet. Well, for the word to be sweet, it has to be in your mouth because that's the part of your physical body that you taste with. It's a metaphor. The psalmist is giving you a picture. Remember, God speaks in pictures. Don't ever forget that revelation. When you're reading Scripture, ask yourself, what picture is being depicted here? What is the Scripture trying to reveal? So you're seeing here that... Actually, this is Solomon. He's the author of Ecclesiastes, also authored Proverbs. He gives you this indication that light is sweet. And it's a pleasant thing. And it's a pleasant thing for the eye to behold the sun. Now, he gives you another metaphor, the sun. He's tying this in, light, with sun. We know naturally speaking, the sun gives off its light. It's always light. It never gets dark. The earth revolves, and because it revolves, we have darkness and light. But that sun always burns bright. It's a picture. It's the shining of God. It's the perfect light. Never goes out. It'll only go out when God says, it's time for you to go out. And he'll be the light. And him and the Lamb will light the new Jerusalem. That's what the scripture says. But it's interesting what it says here that it's a pleasant thing. It is for the eyes to behold the sun. Now he brings in the eyes here. Proverbs 4, my son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thy eyes. It's talking about the word. The word is light. The word is sun. Okay, this is what Solomon's saying. It's a pleasant thing to see the scripture. We've seen it that produced gladness. Now it's a pleasant thing to the eye. When you see Psalms 103, verses 3, bless the Lord, all my soul, forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, all thy faults, all thy failures, and heals all your diseases, that is a pleasant thing to the eyes, especially when your body is afflicted. It is a good thing, a pleasant thing. And the sun is the one who's producing the light. Hallelujah. Now go to Proverbs 15:30. Now we've seen it, Psalms 97:11 says, the light produces gladness, it is sown, it produces gladness. Ecclesiastes 11:7 says it's a pleasant thing to the eyes. And in Proverbs 15:30 it says the light of the eyes rejoices the heart. Now remember, we're still talking about confession. And a good report maketh the bones fat. Now let's dissect that. The light of the eyes, or say it this way, the light is the word. The word that's before your eyes will rejoice your heart. And a good report. Now, how is a good report recognized? Somebody has to say something. So here's the mouth again. A good report maketh the bones fat. Are you seeing this? What confession? The release of light. It'll rejoice the heart and it'll make the bones fat. And he's talking about the light of the eyes. In the Gospels, Jesus talked about if your eye be single, then your whole being will be full of light. See, that's how he illumines your lamp. I mean, sometimes when you read scriptures and you don't know the intertwinings of other scriptures, because one scripture alone can be a dark saying. And what I mean by that is there's not enough revelation in that one scripture to really turn the light on of understanding. You follow what I'm saying along that line? So you must have, that's why I take so many scriptures and took the time to lay the foundation, because you're a child of light and you're commanded to walk as children of light. And if you're a child of light, you got to allow your light to shine. And it's our responsibility. And it's your responsibility to release your light. There's only two ways you can do it, words and actions. That is the only way in Scripture. And I'll say it this way, and the Lord summed it up to Kenneth Hagin with the woman of the issue of blood, said, it's in the saying and in the doing. He said, concerning that woman, she said it, and after she said, I'll be healed, when I touched the hem of his garment, then she did it. Then she received it, then she told it. Those two things, the saying and the doing, is all through Scripture. That's how your light is released. Say it and do it. Praise God. Now, it's interesting here that When we read Proverbs 15:30 again, it says, "The light of the eyes rejoices the heart." When Caleb and Joshua got the report from God and said, "You're well able to take the land, go in it," and he allowed the 12 spies to go in, they came back with a good report. The good report was in line with what God's report was. It made their bones fat because they were the only two that entered into the promise. I don't get all upset when people don't get healed. And Pastor can testify to this. When you work it yourself and you have God manifesting himself in your life, in healing your body or your kid's body or somebody else you laid hands on, you know, I don't get upset when people don't get healed. Most of it is because of a lack of understanding. And I'll say this, the only difference between success and non-success is understanding. It's that simple. I remember when I worked for one church on the prayer team, my wife and I, we'd get people filled with the Holy Ghost. We had a team of people that would minister with us. Well, there were some that were very reluctant to lay hands on people and get them filled with the Holy Ghost. So I would instruct them. And I made this statement to them. There's no difference between me or you. The only difference is a lack of understanding. Once you have the understanding, you can step right in and begin to do this. Well, then when they began to grab a hold of the understanding, they began to act and saw people being filled with the Spirit. And after it took place, one of them said to me, "I don't believe how easy this is." And I says, "I told you, the only difference is understanding." And that's why we spend so much teaching along this line. This subject has been criticized probably the most in the body of Christ. You know, I've heard ministers, big-time ministers, say it's heresy. I heard one minister one time. He was asked a question. He read it on national television. I won't mention the guy's name. And it was about Mark 11:23. And the question was, there are some in the body of Christ teach that a man can have what he says if he believes and doubt not in his heart. Do you believe that? And he says, "No, not really." And the scripture says that. And because of the man having a high position, nationally known, how many people do you think that affected? You know, immediately when he said it, I thought of started thinking of all the scriptures that I knew about, because I did a lot of study along this line because I wanted to have the understanding of it. For some reason in me, the Lord placed a desire to have an understanding of how faith operated. And I knew that confession was the prime subject that you had to understand to have this work for you proficiently. You know, and you'd hear Kenneth Hagin make statements like, keep the switch of faith on. And I always thought, what in the world's a switch of faith? What in the world is he talking about? Well, he's talking about holding fast to your confession, because every time you say, you're releasing your faith. Every time you say, "Father, I thank you that I'm healed," you just released your faith. You're holding fast to the confession of your faith before the high priest of your confession or the high priest of your words. You're holding fast to it. You keep that switch on. "Father, I just praise you and thank you," and allow him to create the fruit of your lips. Now, I'm going to bring in some scriptures that we've already talked about. You know, he says, "Peace, peace to him that is far off, to him that is near." Well, first of all, in Isaiah 57, he declares that I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near. And he goes on to say, and I would heal him. The person who declares, I create the fruit of the lips. So when you're continually saying, you're sowing seed, when you're continually saying, you're watering that seed, when you continually say, you're shining light on that seed, you have the dynamo going. That's why the Bible says, don't fling away your confidence, because it has a great recompense of reward. In other words, you don't cast these things aside and say, "Well, that doesn't work. I've tried it." You've started the dynamo and you quit. That's why you can't get into the time factor when ministering to people. If you get them to understand this, and they will continually say and decree, and if they truly believe in your heart, the manifestation will come in their physical body. Pastor's done it. I've done it. I've had others do it. My wife's done it. She had that growth on her forehead. And that wasn't, what, 2 years ago, hon? Not even that, year and a half ago. Thing kept growing and growing. Actually, she was wearing her hair down so nobody could see it. She said, curse it. We cursed it. It was probably 2 days later, it fell right off her head. Now, I wish I could just say, here, Brooke, take what I've learned and just put it in her. Okay, and I can't do that. I wish I could. But I had to labor in it.
So what are you saying? It's the word.
It's the word. It's the word in your mouth. And it'll produce. But we're taking it in the light of light. In the example that I was using, seed being sown naturally, you know, you have to have those elements. You have to have water. You have to have light to produce seed in the natural. You do away with the water, you do away and have light, you're still not going to have harvest because you've lacked water. The seed is the word. The water's the word. The light is the word. It's with the increase of a man's lips shall he be filled. Now let's go to Romans 13. Verse 12, it's interesting what Paul has to say. And he says it in a different way. The light is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Remember what he said in Ephesians 5? You were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, walk as children of light. Now watch what he says here. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Why? Because you were sometimes darkness. And let us put on the armor of light. You got that? Now, when you read Ephesians 6, we know about the armor of God. He talks about the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, having your feet shod with preparation of the gospel, the belt, which is the symbolic of the truth of God's word, taking the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, quenching all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Now, he doesn't go through that whole gamut of rhetoric. He says here, put on the armor of light. Yes. So if we know the light is the word, we can read it this way. Put on the word. The armor of the word. The armor of the word will quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. That's what the shield of faith was designed to do. Stop the fiery missiles of the evil one. The armor of light is released, or how we put it on, two ways, your words and your actions, your saying and the doing. That woman with the issue of blood had the armor of light on. She didn't even know it by her saying. He sums it up calling it the armor of light. In Ephesians, the sixth chapter, he lists the whole. When you read the whole thing, you're picturing yourself. What's pictured is a Roman soldier, armed for battle. That's how we are. We're armed for battle. So we are to put on the armor of light. Now it says, let us put on. Whose responsibility is this? Ours. Does God do this? Does Pastor Keith do it? I mean, he instructs, he tries. I like what something I learned from listening to Kenneth Hagin and watching him minister was he would always get a confession out of an individual. What do you have to say about this? Will you be filled with the Holy Ghost when I lay hands on you? And if they say, well, I sure hope so, he would say, well, you're not. Because you're not believing. You haven't said the right things. You haven't released words for God to create. The words you're releasing is, I hope so, it's not faith. The confession should be, yeah, I'll be filled. Just lay your hands on me and I'll speak. I'll take that step of faith and speak. And that's when you're getting people filled with the Holy Ghost is probably the greatest challenge is getting them to take the step of faith to begin to stammer their lips. Move them. If you believe it, move them. That utterance will come out. Believe me, it'll come out. And it's going to shock you when it comes out. But I want to use that as an example. That's what called the manifestation into being was you beginning to move your lips. Your healing will come into manifestation by you moving your lips with the Word of God upon your lips. It'll call it into being. That's the armor of light. Put it on. And it's interesting that he also says here, the light is far spent, the night. Okay, now night depicts darkness. The day is at hand. Well, daytime there's light. It's just interesting how he has these things worded. You were sometimes darkness, now you are light. You know, then he says night's darkness, it's spent, but now it's light. It's a glorious day. You are always to shine and always to have your light illuminating. Jesus is the one who illuminates your light. He's the one who lights your lamp. Now this is the last scripture we'll look at is Isaiah 8:20. And this is the climax of this lesson. So you see what I'm talking about. And it's interesting that Isaiah had this revelation. He says here, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word. Make that statement with me. Speak not according to this word. Now watch this. I'm not going to read the next sentence because I'm going to expound a little bit so you see this. So he says here, to the law is the word of God. So we can read it like this. To the word and to the testimony. Testimony is always associated with the mouth. If I'd ask you, Brother Keith, give me your testimony about receiving the Lord. How's he do it? With his foot? No. He puts his mouth into gear. Notice that the law is associated with testimony. The word is associated with testimony. In Revelations, it says they overcame him, referring to Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So the word of their testimony is how they overcame. So what's Isaiah saying here? To the law or to the word and to the testimony. So we have the word and we have testimony. Testimony is always depicted with somebody speaking words. All right? If they speak not according to this word. Now I'm going to read this and I'm going to inject because what I'm doing is extracting the principle out of this verse. If they speak not according to Isaiah 53:4-5, surely he, Christ, bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. Chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. If they speak not according to that word, which I just quoted, Isaiah 53:4-5, or 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. If they speak not according to that word, watch what he says here. It is because there is no light in them. Do you get that? That's right, hot off the press, baby. I told you. It's right off the press. There's no light in them. What do you have to say about your body, brother? Well, this is what the doctor has to say. Why is he saying that? Speak not. It is because he's not speaking according to the word. And because he's not speaking according to the word, there's no light in him. Well, the doctor's saying this and that. There's no light in him. Speaking contrary. There's no light in him. Do you get upset? No, you try to get light in him. You begin to sow the light in him. So once the light's in them, they can release the light. Do you get a hold of that verse? What he's saying there? To the law, or to the word, and to the testimony. The word is always in your mouth. If they speak not according to this word. If you don't speak according to Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Guess what? There's no light in you. If you will not speak that Jesus is your shalom, your peace, and you're a wreck, guess what? There's no light in you. It is because there is no light in you. Light must be released. It is the armor of light. It's what produces the incorruptible seed after it's been planted and watered. It needs the glorious light of the gospel, which is the word. Now I'm done. Praise God. I hope you got a hold of that.